Hello again, brethren. This week we're going to talk about the Sabbath. In the Old Testament, Sabbath explains why we keep it. There are certain essential scriptures that help us understand why we keep it. The New Testament deals with how we keep the Sabbath. And in this sermon today, we'll be dealing with the Old Testament. God commands our obedience, and this is why we keep the Sabbath. Okay, let's turn to Genesis 2, 2 to 3. This is where God commands us to keep the Sabbath. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done and rested on the seventh day from all his works that he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God created and made. So by resting and from his work, he sanctified it, that is, blessed us with it. And in that creation week, the first thing he did is to provide rest for us, mind and body, and to give opportunity for closer contact with God through study and prayer. Now, the English word Sabbath is from the Hebrew word Shabbath, Strong 7676, meaning rest or repose. This Hebrew noun is related to the verb to stop, rest, or cease, Shabbath, in Strong 7673. In the Hebrew, Genesis 2:2 literally says that God Sabbathed, ceased or rested on the seventh day from all his work. Then in Leviticus 23, we see a little more detail here. Verses 2 and 3. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. Verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So clearly, God requires us to keep the Sabbath. And it's a solemn rest, an appointed feast, and a holy convocation. And as such, it's a period of approximately 24 hours, reckoned from sunset Friday until evening, until sunset Saturday evening. The period of observation is borne out by the repeated phrase, and the evening and the morning, in Genesis 1, as you can see that. And by direct statements in such passages as Leviticus 23:32, and on observing the annual Sabbath from evening to evening. And verse 32 there, Leviticus 23 says, it shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the ninth day of the month at evening, from evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. So that defines when we keep the Sabbath. How we keep the Sabbath is explained a little more detail in Exodus 16. That shows the great importance God places on a specific period of time for the Sabbath. God caused miracles to ratify the holiness of the Sabbath. Double the normal amount of manna was found on the sixth day, and extra manna did not spoil when left until morning, as it would have on any other day. So let's just read Exodus 16. They journeyed from Elim, and the congregation of the children of Israel, to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they had departed from the land of Egypt. When the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, And the children of Israel said to them, Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill up the whole assembly with hunger. The Lord said to Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota each day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your murmurings against the Lord. But what are we that you murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your murmurings, which you make against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, Say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings. Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it was that quails came at evening and covered the camp, and the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, What is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, This is the bread which the Lord has given to you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to one's need, one omer for each person according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, Let no one leave any of it until morning. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it was bread, worms, and stank, and Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to its need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. So it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then they said to them, This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid it up until morning, as Moses commanded. It did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh, which is the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. The Lord said to Moses, How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. And every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. So we see from this that there was a normal amount of manna every day, and on the sixth day, twice as much. And God told Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments? which we read in verse 28. Now, this statement especially relevant since it took place before the covenant at Sinai. The covenant at Sinai is the Ten Commandments, proving that both the Sabbath predated that covenant, and it is included as one of God's commandments and laws. So we see that God instituted keeping the Sabbath in Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3. And later on, he reiterates it in Exodus 16. He gives the detail of when we should keep the Sabbath, noting that separate from regular days, Saturday, the Sabbath is from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. Now, if we go to Exodus 20 and verse 8 to 11, we see this, what's called the covenant at Sinai, the Ten Commandments. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall labor be and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your sons, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, your cattle, nor the stranger within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Okay? So the Sabbath has national significance. Its observance involved the entire community. That's as laid out the Ten Commandments. God showed by this by adding the original Genesis command, a communal responsibility of Sabbath keeping, which involved children, etc., which I just read. Exodus 31 is another layout of Sabbath keeping. In Exodus 31, verses 12 to 17, God lays out the Sabbath law. Verse 12, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it's a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." So it's a special sign, separate covenant, with special significance. It's referred to as a sign, a special relationship between God and Israel. No other nation kept the Sabbath day. And we go on to read, "You shall keep the Sabbath," in verse 14, "Therefore, for it is holy to you, everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does not work on it, just does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days. The seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. On the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Now, it was the one law of God that would make Israel stand out. It would act as a sign to show Israel was the nation of God. And we can read, I'm reading from the the Sabbath doctrinal statement, which is in that
SDP
Systematic Theology Project. It says on page 29, "The additional significance of the account of Exodus 16 lies in the fact that it shows supreme importance to the Sabbath of the Sabbath to God. The fact that God revealed and maintained the identity of his Sabbath to Israel by the daily and weekly miracles of manna, along with a clear example of the types of punishment meted out to those who broke the Sabbath, as recorded in these verses, reemphasizes that God's original Sabbath command was a law of extreme importance. The fact that the events described in Exodus 16 actually occurred in Israel before the institution of the covenant at Sinai, that's the Ten Commandments, corroborates the truth that the Sabbath was not, as some contend, only part of God's specific pact with the nation that, and hence with that nation, and hence of significance to no other people. But even then, the inclusion of the Sabbath by God in his covenant with Israel is clear delineation of the Sabbath as one of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, only adds weight to its importance, rather than detracting from it. At the making of the Sinai covenant, the Sabbath was one of the Ten Commandments recorded on the tablets of stone and kept inside the Ark of the Covenant. Other terms of the covenant were considered of less significance, as was shown by their being kept outside the Ark. Once again, it is only logical that God would include in the covenant, in his covenant, those laws and principles he knew would be good for Israel, especially because Israel was a nation he hoped would be the example to showcase to the world. So the idea of the Sabbath was to be an example, to make Israel an example to the world, so that the world would find God's ways and keep them. Now, in Exodus 20, verse 8 and 11, which we saw on the first page, we'll just add another section from page 29. It says, God's Sabbath command of Exodus 28, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, represents an example of God definitely tutoring his special people in the obedience of the universal law. Rather than his singling out one nation for obedience to an exclusive law not meant for the rest of mankind, the admonition, remember, itself indicates that the commandment is not instituting the Sabbath for the first time, but rather enjoining Israel to keep and retain what is already in existence. The Sabbath was in existence before Israel. Some quote Nehemiah 9:13-14 as disproof of this. Actually, these verses show the opposite. God gave Israel right and true and good laws, statutes and commandments, and he made known to them his Sabbath. It does not say he originated it or instituted the Sabbath with them. It says he made it known to them. Israel had lost knowledge of it at that time, as Gentiles have today. But God revealed the Sabbath to Israel, who was to become his covenant nation. God did not create the Sabbath at Sinai, but rather made it fully known at that time. And then, regarding Exodus 31, it was one of the laws of God that would make Israel stand out. It would act as a sign to show Israel was the nation of God. It would also keep Israel knowledgeable of God as creator, the one true God who made everything. When the nations of the 10 tribes of Israel later gave up this Sabbath sign, they were lost to history, and so they went into captivity. But the Jews continue to keep this day and are known by it. It's even called Jewish by others. Now, in Exodus 31:17, it refers to the term forever. In verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. And he goes on, forever is from the Hebrew word olam, Strong's 5769, which means continuousness in the noun or continually in the verb. This sign remains continually between God and Israel. So forever means that it lasts continually for the rest of time. And that's important to understand. Now in Exodus 20, verse 12, God gave Israel his Sabbath as a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. This means that the Sabbath is one means by which God sanctifies, a method God has chosen of consecration by setting apart for a holy purpose. So God, with the Sabbath sign, shows us as different from the world. The Sabbath began at creation, not with the Sinaitic covenant with Israel, and then was made a special sign in a covenant forever with Israel. Today, the church is the Israel of God. As God's covenant people today, we still know the Sabbath. It is still the same sign identifying those who worship God. Now, there are a couple of warnings that God gives us. Jeremiah 17:19 is the first one. If I can find it. Oh, it's just after 60. Imagine that. Okay, 17:19-27. Hallow the Sabbath day, is the caption above. Thus the Lord said to me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people by which the kings of Judah come in and by which they go out, in all the gates of Jerusalem. Say to them, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah and all inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter by these gates. Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. But they did not obey, nor incline their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall be, if you diligently heed me, says the Lord, to bring no burden through the gates of the city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day to do no work in it. Then shall enter the gates of the city kings and princes, sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, accompanied by the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin and from the lowland, from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, bringing sacrifices to praise the house of the Lord. This is what they should have done. But if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the places of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. So in Jeremiah 17, we see that Jeremiah gives God's warning to them, and they did not hallow God's Sabbath, and God destroyed them. In Ezekiel 20, Ezekiel deals mostly with Israel as opposed to Judah. And in Ezekiel 20, verses 10 to 26, we see, therefore I made them go out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes, showed them my judgments, which if a man does them, he shall live by them. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths, to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they greatly defiled my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them. Verse 14, but I acted for my name's sake, that they should not be profaned before the Gentiles, in whose sight I had brought them out. So, for the sake of their example before the rest of the world, God spared some of them, Israel. So also I lifted my hand in an oath to them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all lands, because they despised my judgments and did not walk in my statutes, but profaned my Sabbaths, for their heart was after their own idols. Nevertheless, my eye spared them from destruction. I did not make an end of them in the wilderness. But I said to them, to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, nor observe the judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. Hallow my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Verse 21, notwithstanding the children rebelled against me, they did not walk in my statutes and were not careful to observe my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. But they profaned my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the Gentiles, in whose sight I had brought them out. Also, I lifted my hand in the oath to those in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the Gentiles and disperse them throughout the countries. Because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes, profaned my Sabbaths, and their eyes were fixed on their father's idols. Therefore, I also gave them up to statutes that were not good, and judgments by which they could not live. And I pronounced them unclean because of their ritual gifts, in that they caused all their firstborn to pass through the fire, that I might make them desolate, and that they might know that I am the Lord. So here again, that was Ezekiel speaks to quite strongly against breaking the Sabbath. He considers it one of the main reasons Israel went into captivity. And we have one more. Little reading there. The captivity was the fulfillment of a promise in the wilderness. Moreover, I swore to them in the wilderness that I would scatter them among the nations and disperse them through the countries, because they had not executed my ordinances, but had rejected my statutes and profaned my Sabbath. In their eyes were set on their father's idols. This is a very succinct summary of the cause of the exile. Clearly one of the major reasons for the profanation of the Sabbath. So we see these two examples, and there are others we could read, that Israel and Judah were not obeying the Sabbath or any of the other laws of God, but they were keeping their own ways. And so that is a warning from God that that disobedience meant they would lose their ability to obey God, because they didn't obey Him. So, in conclusion, we keep God's holy Sabbath because God commands us to. These references above are helpful in explaining our commitment to keeping God's Sabbath to anyone who asks. These scriptures are the fundamental basic commandments from God that we must follow, and gives us the reason that we keep the Sabbath holy. It's a good record of the Old Testament explanation of commands from God.